Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with another Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast for you with my co-host, Matt Hanifin. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I am doing fantastic. The NBA draft, the 2025 NBA draft is rapidly approaching. As you reminded me off air, we're only 3 weeks away. Content-wise, that's forever, but in actuality, it's rapidly approaching. Other than that, man, I'm doing good. Got a haircut. Getting my affairs in order to attend the NBA Summer League. I will be there representing the Hoops Profile channel. Yet to see if I will be representing Five Reasons Sports. We'll find out about that. But I'm sure that
you content... will in spirit.
I was going to say, I'm sure the content's going to make its way to that channel anyway. But let's talk about what we've been witnessing, what we've been hearing on social media, what we've been seeing, if you've had any extra film study. And I'll start it off. There's a few things that I've seen, a few people that have been doing these basketball breakdowns, like similar to what this channel used to be, where I used to do that stuff. Too many copyright strikes. I don't do that stuff anymore. Every time I turn around, I got a copyright the other day from a video I did a year ago. So I'm all out on that. But people are doing it. God bless them. Hopefully it gets their channel off the ground and gets them some traction. But I heard something very interesting. I heard someone breaking down Dylan Harper's jump shot. And the way they were breaking it down, some of the things made sense. Like, he's got a good base, which he does. And they're like, his elbow's in. Sometimes it is, yes. And they're like, oh, exactly how you want to have it release off his fingertips. The release is perfect. And that's where, like, record skips. I was like, wait, no. That's, like, his whole problem. Like, his release point is too low, comes from, like, his chin. And, like, it's never consistent. And off the bounce, his jumper is not that great at all either, because, again, that low release is going to be hard to get off in the NBA, even at 6'6". And it's going to cause for him to shoot a low percentage from three, just like he did in college. He didn't shoot that great in college either, consistently. So I heard that. Another thing I heard was Ben Sarif and Noah Asenge are picking up steam. Like, they're doing great, which they are. They're playing great in the playoffs in Germany right now. They're playing great. Ben Sarif, I think, to me, it reaffirms what we already knew about him, because a lot of what Noah does comes off of the penetration and the passing ability that Sarif creates for that team. Mm-hmm. What was really key for me with Sarif, he hit a three in overtime. Off the balance pullback dribble three, his base has gotten so good. Night and day different from when I scouted him early in the season, where he was off balance. Every time he was shooting threes, he was either fading way back or he was drifting to the left or right. And for those that are listening, whenever this comes in a podcast form, I was mimicking those motions. he no longer does that. He's making a conscious effort to shoot from his base, which we talked about in our breakdown videos from a few years ago, how your base, you know, really sets up your shot and your shooting form.
Right.
And I sent you a video of a scout that does development work with players who talks about that type of connectivity. So I found that very interesting. And that guy, I want to see more of his work, man, because he's on his stuff. I liked everything he was talking about in that video that I sent you. Mm-hmm. But anyway, those are some of the things that I've been hearing. What about you? Real quick, Salus D is in our playback. So if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Say hello in the comments. Like Rob says, great work, guys. Can't wait to see what the Heat do. We'll talk about that. And then Salus D over here on playback says, draft is on Tuesday. And he says, Ben Seraph coming to town near Adele's home. I don't know what that means. I didn't receive that video, Adele. No, you didn't. I sent it to Matt Hanifin. I didn't send it to you, Salus D. But I can. I mean, if you think the Discord wants to learn how shooting mechanics are supposed to work, it's a great technical video talking about that. But Matt Hanifin, what have you seen? What have you been hearing out there?
Well, yeah, 3 weeks from tomorrow, it's June 25th, Wednesday. Right. They're usually on a Thursday, at least from my recollection.
Yeah.
But this year it's on a Wednesday. That's neither here nor there. But there was a couple things that I've seen. Like, again, a lot of this at this time of year is like smoke screen.
Right.
It's the same thing with the NFL draft. Like, there's so much talk about this happening and that happening and players going there. And like, we really won't know. Like, there's only been a few teams. Like, I've seen like the Kings do this. I've seen a couple of the teams do this where like they will post like who's working out for them. Right. I don't know if a lot of that's public information yet, just for most of these teams.
Man, I know the Heat don't do it.
I was going to say there was one website that like does a good job tracking it. And like last year with the Heat, there was a few, like it came out more so toward the end about different players that worked out there or that, you know, they told another party that they worked out there and that just got out to the public or whatever the case was.
Yeah, or they'll like see a photo they released in their Heat practice jerseys or whatever.
Yeah, like I've seen buzz about like Brooklyn trading up. Like they've been one, I think, I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was all four picks. But
that's a lot.
I've seen buzz about them potentially moving up in the first round. Again, not sure how much of this to actually believe. A couple players that I've seen get buzz, Adu Thoreau, is one that I've seen like mocked in like the top 20. In a couple of different spots. Again, it's a mock draft. There's only these are other individuals, other evaluators projecting what they may think will happen or what they think another team will do. That doesn't mean it will actually happen.
Right.
So I caution people with that. It's just people, you know.
And a lot of mocks and a lot of mock drafts too, that they are changed for entertainment value. Like that's why we don't do a bunch of mock drafts. Right.
Right. That's what I mean. But I have, you know, I have seen him like get buzz just from different places. So I think that's a little interesting. He's not someone who I currently have as a top 20 guy. I want to talk about Traore for a second. I know I'm like all over the place here, but one thing this is what makes him a polarizing prospect to me. And he's one of the more polarizing players in this class that I've evaluated. Like I watched a bunch on him over the weekend. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was YouTube just because it's like, I can't find full games of any of these international guys.
It's so hard, man.
Maybe I just don't have the right, I'm not going to the right places. But anywho, I think I've talked to you about this maybe off air, but this is just a evaluation. Like, I have trouble with small guards.
Yes.
I thought I saw somewhere that he's, I want to say it was, maybe it was the no ceiling guys. I don't want to throw them under the bus here. I saw it somewhere that he was 6'4". He does not look 6'4".
Yeah, that's tough.
Not a chance.
6'2", maybe?
Yeah, like with shoes, I don't even think he's 6'4". Like, he looks small. The thing that I love, well, obviously, this isn't like any new news to anyone. Right. The passing's so sick, dude. Like, at least in the tape that I was watching, the reads that he makes,
yes,
are some of the best that any guard in this class or any guards of the last few classes. Like, for just contextualizing someone at his age, like, it's just not something.
That's a good caveat, because I was gonna say Tyler Kolek was that type of passer in right. the previous draft, but he was much, much older.
Well, I also want to like say that, like, he's among that top tier,
right,
of playmaking guards. Like, Kolek, you're right, was definitely one of them that was doing some of the similar stuff that he was doing. The part that I have a problem, not a problem with, but again, this isn't news to anyone. He's not a big guard, and there were times where, like, he was getting shots up over interior defenders. Like, he was getting in the lane, he was, you know, with like either like a step back or a fadeaway, or he was using that runner.
Right.
He was okay. I thought it was like 55%. I saw somewhere where he was around the rim, which for someone of his size is actually like not bad.
As the season went on, for sure.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where that's at in terms of like a percentile, like relative to other guards in the class or anything like that. But I just think he's going to have a hard to. Oh, Adele left.
No, I did that on purpose.
Oh,
keep talking.
I just think he's going to have a hard time finishing and getting, not only finishing, but finding his shot.
Right.
And it's one of those things where it's like, if you can't be a true scoring threat, like if you can't shoot, which he can't, I think the form is workable, but
yeah, it's not as bad as I thought it would be whenever I started watching it.
It's the percentages weren't great though. You can't be a non-scoring threat
and a small guard.
Yeah, and a small, like, you can, and I still think that's not to say he can't be like a functional role player. Again, we've talked about it before. You specifically, like, point guard is a dying art. Teams are going to want that.
It really is.
Teams are going to value that maybe after his first contract or whatever the case is. If he doesn't re-sign with the team that he gets drafted to, or he gets traded or whatever. I think there's more, like, there's a role for him to carve out at the NBA level. I just don't think, not saying he's getting this buzz or anything like that, I just don't think it's top 15 lottery.
Well, he was getting that type of buzz like early in the process. Like, people were like, oh my God, Nolan Torre, he's young. He gets all these assists. And he was showing up on big boards and mock drafts in the top 20 consistently, like top 15 consistently. Now, the trouble that I have is that all the other guards went back to school, and these teams that are going to need guard play, somebody may see that ability to run a professional team, be able to facilitate. They don't have to be the primary scoring threat, and they may take a chance on that. So it's possible it could happen, but you're right. There's a lot of things that I have concerns about, because, again, they're saying he's 6'3". You turn on a tape and you're like, wait.
He's going to get picked on.
Is he? Right. Is he really 6'3"? And he's only like 170 pounds. Like, he's not
right.
He's not big at all.
Yeah, like, I think the best way for me to describe this is, like, I'm higher on him than I was on Rob.
Right.
Rob, I was just like, he was fun to watch at Kentucky.
Yeah.
I was out on him as an NBA guy. He's only played 1 year. He really didn't play that much at all. So I think the jury's still out there. But just for some of the same things that I talked about, I have trouble with small guards. That said, like, this is, I am a little bit of a hypocrite in the sense that, like, I love Chase.
You and are Chase a hypocrite. It's
almost like they're similar size. But I think the difference between him and Jace is I trust Jace's playmaking. It's not to the same level as Troy's. I'm not going to sit here and say that. But I trust the playmaking chops that he has, albeit in the smaller role that he did have. So
he's a much, much better shooter.
That's what I was going. That the efficiency for him in every single area of the floor is superior than Troy's. And I think he will be a better defender.
I agree with that's, all of that.
So that's where it's like, I think Jace is like a fringe top 15 guy. I think I don't remember exactly.
Oh, yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too.
I had him like either 12th or 13th, somewhere in that range.
Right.
Traore, I think I had in like the early 20s, maybe maybe in the late teens. I don't remember exactly. I don't have it pulled up right now. Because I still have to update it amid all the chaos and whatnot. It's been, you know, a few weeks since I've touched it. But that's where it's like, those are the differences where it's like, if you were to ask me if I would take Jace or Traore, I'm taking Jace. And I think, I really wouldn't think twice about it.
Me neither.
It's one of the same, like that, again, Jace is a small guard. But those are the traits. Those are the things that I'm betting on with him, the shooting.
And he's athletic, too.
Well, yeah, 38-inch vert. I don't think he really – when I watched some Jace over the weekend, too. I never really saw on tape the 38-inch vert, but he tested well. He did it at the combine, so it's like, who am I to say? But on, like, game tape, it was like, there were obviously moments where, you know, he had some nice dunks and everything, but like, it wasn't like, I never thought like, okay, yeah, that dude has a near 40 inch vert. I just never really thought that when watching him. That's not a knock on him. Like, that's, he still has.
Also, it's
really
like Michigan State's offense, a lot of like curls and like half court offense. They don't get out and run a lot. Like, it's a lot of 90s style basketball in the half court.
Right. But even when he was able to get to the rim, I was like, he's athletic.
Right.
I didn't think he was that athletic.
Yeah.
Or at least that athletic relative to what he tested.
I mean, Pettiford put up a 42-inch vert, man. Or was it 43? 42 or 43, something like that.
Yeah, it was one of those two.
It was insane.
It was somewhere in the 40s.
Well, it was either 42 or 43. It's one of those two numbers. I know that for a fact. It was insane.
Yeah. But no, yeah, those are just some concerns I have about Nolan, because like, this was like the first weekend where I mean, obviously I've seen, you know, bits and pieces here and there from highlights and game tape and whatnot, but I really sat down and watched it, and I was just like, it's kind of the same eval that the preconceived notion I had before, but to like, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where
you don't think he'll bust out.
When I'm going to take this swing, like, I don't feel comfortable doing it in the top 15. Unless you really need like one of those facilitating guards, which I can tell you one team that might need a facilitating guard.
Do they maybe start not the with top an M?
In Minnesota. No.
They already got a small facilitator. Well, he's not a facilitating guard. He's a
Hey, listen, but they Mike is in his twilight. So yeah, they still kind of do need one.
Very true.
At least play.
Very, very true. Real quick, we have two comments on YouTube here. Stephen Fine comes in and says, Jace Richardson only shoots and dribbles with one hand, driving down the lane. Only goes one way. Almost always on the court. I forget which way. It's left. Rob says, any under-the-radar options for the Heat at 20 that may not be highly touted, but could end up being consistent contributors? I have a few under the radar that's been coming to mind lately, not from any intel, but to just have come to mind. Like, Hugo Gonzalez, to me, is a player that has a lot of upside and has good, very, very good measurables and positional size to go with athleticism and a skill set that would be a good wing option for Miami as a young player to develop. because he is very athletic. Like, I didn't realize how athletic he was, because out of the 12 games I watched, he only played 5 minutes and you didn't get to see much. But he played in that playoff game for a whole half and it popped off the tape in that one half of basketball, how athletic he was. Another guy, Cedric Coward. I think it would be a reach to take him at 20, but you're going to have to reach to get a guy, I think, in this draft. Coward's a guy that can really, really shoot the ball, like flat out shoot the ball. And Spo's smart enough that he'd put that guy in actions where he'd be able to score. He can facilitate a little bit, but a lot of that came out of the low post. He's not posting people up at 6'6", unless he gets a mismatch with a small guard on him, like Nolan Troy. But any other under the radar options at 20 that caught your eye, Matt, or anybody you could think of to answer that question?
I'm pulling up Tankathon just to.
All right. Well, so I got a couple of more while you're pulling up Tankathon. Danny Wolf could be a guy, because he's a big and you don't lose any playmaking ability. He can handle the ball. He got so much better as the season went on, handling the basketball like a guard. He really started blurring the lines between, was he really 7 foot or was he a guard? Because his ball handling was outstanding by the end of the season. Is Nate Clifford under the radar at this point?
Not for me.
I mean, I'm not.
Not for me.
We know for you, he's number one overall, above Cooper Flag, Nate Clifford.
I think he is to a degree, yeah.
So Nate Clifford, I guess, could be another under the radar guy for you. And lastly, I'm going to pull out a name here, and it's going to be one that you probably don't have this high. No one probably does, but I like him. I wouldn't take him at 20, so you'd have to think about maybe trading down. But somebody like Joan Behringer. Joan Behringer is an under-radar guy. He's a center from France. He's been playing basketball for all of 3 years. Very much in the mold of Yves Missi last season. He's got great feet. He's got good touch around the basket. He plays extremely hard.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone, all with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
And he's got a frame, and again, I'm not saying he's going to be this player, but he's got a frame that could fill out similar to Giannis. Again, I'm not saying he's going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's not what I said. I said he's got a frame that could fill out like Giannis. So in the right system, I really, really like Joan Behringer for what he can become and what he can develop into. But then he'd be a backup big, which the team needs, because I don't think Sorber's falling to 20. As much as my pipe dream is wanting Thomas Sorber to fall to 20. I don't think he's falling to 20. But do you have your list up, Matt? Do you have anybody else that you may have thought of?
There's a couple guys on here, actually. Just to give you an idea, Tankathon has Behringer going 22.
There you go.
To Atlanta. I mean, this isn't under the radar, but I've seen so much buzz from him by fans, by, you know, people we work with. I wouldn't do it. I've kind of made it known at this point, but Walter Clayton.
We did a podcast on Five Reasons Sports, me and Ethan Skolnick, about Walter Clayton and the Miami Heat fit.
I just can't get around to him being like a top 25 guy.
I have him 25 and under. That's where I've had him for a long time. 25 and under.
You've had him there for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. But 20's a reach. But then again, like I said, I think you may have to either reach five spots too high for a player, like, or hope a guy falls to you.
This is where I not disagree with you, but like, I think there is a, because it's like, it's going to be so weird. I mean, it's going to be so weird after the top five, let alone top 10.
It's going to be weird in the top five. Like, there are going to be major trades that shake up the entire top five of the draft.
Hopefully. I'm not banking on it. But there's going to be people who reach for X, Y, and Z when you get in the teens.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's like, could, I mean, this is just an example, but could a guy like Jace Richardson?
Perhaps.
It's possible. I'm not, again, not banking on it. I wouldn't if I was a front office in those teens, but could it happen? Sure. Could a guy like Rashear Fleming? Sure. But there's also a world, on the other hand, where Jace Richardson goes like seven. We're just like, wait, what?
Right.
Yeah, like something weird like that happens. But that just means someone else falls, like Colin Murray Boyles.
Don't do that.
Walter Clayton's one that I think is just going to be a popular name for the next, you know, 3.5 weeks. Or not 3.5 weeks, 3 weeks. One might 3.5, 3 weeks.
I just rounded it up and said 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Another one that is under the radar for a late first round guy. Who are you going to say?
I said Will Riley.
No. although I have seen some stuff on it. Drake Powell.
Ooh, that is sneaky under the radar. And that would be defense only.
Yeah, you have to be okay with him developing for a year or two. I like what he does on a basketball court, but I still would be very wary about drafting him in the first round. But I could see him being a first-round pick just because of the measurables, because he tested with a 43-inch max vert.
Oh, combine. He's super athletic. Super athletic.
Crazy athletic.
Yeah. And he's got a wingspan for days.
Basketball court. Yeah. Huh?
He's got wingspan for days also.
Yeah. No, he has arms longer than like the Golden Gate Bridge, dude. Like, it's crazy. but he'd be someone that I wouldn't be surprised. Like, a team takes him in like the 20s and you're just like, whoa. But again, because I know at this point, there's a history of some NBA front offices just being like, all right, he has the athletic tools. Right. He has the physical tools. He's good defensively. But we'll figure it out offensively with them. Like Phoenix did it last year with Ryan Dunn.
They did. And we thought he did the impossible. He had us completely fooled with that.
Yeah, 10 jump games.
Shot. Yeah, 10 games. I got three names I'm going to throw out there at you. Four names I'm going to throw out there at you. And if they are on the board at 20, do you say yes or do you say pass? All right. So we'll pick or pass. That'll be the name of this segment. Pick or pass. So I'm going to throw out four names. You tell me, pick or pass. First name, Carter Bryant.
Pick.
Second name, Noah Asenge.
You've watched more of him than I have, but I'd probably say.
The thing about him, he's only 6'8", and we don't know what his official measurements are. He could be smaller. Based on what I see on film, he looks like a wing. A lot of his work is off of creation by Serif and the other point guard. He doesn't really create anything on his own. His handles aren't that great. His shooting's pretty good, but he reminds me a lot of Noah Clowney. It's kind of what he reminds me of. And people are making him out to be more athletic than I think he is. Like, he's athletic, but people are making him out to be like this world beater. And I don't think he's jumping out the gym like that. So I would pass.
I was going to say probably pass.
Jaeger Denman.
Pass.
No, not even a thought.
This goes back to the Traore point, especially when you're 6'9", dude.
Right.
Like, what? I don't know. He has the positional size. I do like the passing, the off ball defense, but there's a lot of guards in this class who can't shoot, and he's like toward the bottom end of that spectrum.
And he's not a very good athlete.
Yeah.
So that's a pass. Liam McNeely.
Oh my God.
At 20. Falls to 20, so there's value here.
How much value?
I'm not saying I value him. I'm saying, like, based on the pedigree, on where people are projecting him to go in the draft. But to me, yeah, exactly. To me, I would pass. I'm not taking Liam McNeely at 20. But he can really shoot the cover off the ball. He'd be the Duncan Robinson replacement.
That's a problem. He didn't make shots. Like, I liked Liam at least at the beginning of the season, but like post-injury, he wasn't making shots.
Right. It's because he can't get open.
Even when he was open.
He can't get any separation from anybody. But he'd be your Duncan Robinson replacement at 20.
Yeah, he does play like Duncan. I want to say I said that at the beginning of the year and caught heat in the draft channel. I'll have to go back and look at that.
Probably.
Maybe it was somewhere else. That I kind of like half-hearted joke of like, yeah, he's your Duncan Robinson replacement.
He drew a lot of fouls in college, and I don't know how, because he couldn't get away from a soul. Like, I don't know why people were fouling him down low.
Hacking at the arms.
Right.
Probably pass. There's not enough there for me.
Just not enough there for you at 20.
Like I dislike Liam as a, like, I think the competitiveness is there. The form, the mechanics and stuff aren't bad. Like, they're good. Like, he has good shot mechanics. And I was a fan of his at the beginning of the season. Or at least more of a fan than I am now. But poor finisher at the rim. Couldn't really get. I mean, he got to the rim, but like, I get to your point. There was no separation.
No. Defenders were right on him, all over him all game.
And he didn't shoot well. And like.
And he can't jump at all.
Yeah. Not an explosive athlete. I thought he was an okay defender, but I have questions about that at the NBA level.
He's not a good, he won't be a good defender at the NBA level. Yeah.
At least at the start. Right. And so that's where it's just like, if I'm drafting that, I just think there'll be players with more, not to say Liam doesn't have upside, but I think there's going to be players with more upside available at 20.
I got two more names for you. If you had to reach, if you decide I'm going to reach for a guy, like say Hugo Gonzalez goes off the board, he's not on the board, and you decide Walter Clayton Jr. can't facilitate enough, doesn't have good enough handle, doesn't defend. Would you reach for Tyrese Proctor at 20?
Oh, that is not a name I expect you to say.
Yeah, you like this?
I
think this is great.
I would consider it.
That's what I'm saying. You may have to consider it.
I would consider it. I don't think I would do it, though.
He's 6'6". He's like, got positional size, shooting, can handle a little bit.
I would take him over some of the other names that we mentioned.
He'll defend.
I think I have him like in the mid-20s on my board.
He's 26th on my board.
I was going to say, I want to say he was 25.
Last two names. Alex Tahui.
I haven't watched much of him.
So oh, dude, he's good. 6'7", can handle, can shoot, get to the basket, can play defense. He's a good team player, gets the ball moving. I like Tahui.
I guess I should say I haven't watched him much outside of him at the combine.
At the combine, right. All right, so one last guy, but you'd have to really be reaching for this guy. Chaz Lanier.
That's such a Heat thing to do.
Wouldn't it? That's like super Miami thing to do.
Probably not, but
one of the best shooters in the class, 6'4", yeah. Long arms.
I'm taking him over. If you're we're just talking pure shooting, taking him over Liam.
I'm taking him over Brea too, because Lanier can defend. Brea can't.
No, I know. I kind of have him in that same tier defensively.
They're in a I don't think they're in a similar tier defensively. I mean, I don't think he's a great defender, but he's going to be a much better defender than somebody like Brea. I don't know, some of these other guys. But
I think that's true. I just have him. I'd probably.
And he's got an NBA body that these guys don't.
That's like, true. Yeah, I just think I would inclined to believe that he's a better defender than, but I still don't think he's like where I want him to be yet. He can get there.
Right.
But
all right. One last question. That's not a pick or pass. That segment's over. I like that segment actually. Since we just, cause you know, it was a well thought out, well produced thing before the show. We really right. got that one through.
Yeah. Right.
Last question for you. Does Zion James get drafted?
Yeah.
Ooh, I like it. I mean, I think he should get drafted. I don't know if he will. Well, you know, now that all the guards went back to school, I think he does.
I was going to say, we talked about this when
when all the guards went back.
Entry withdrawal list. It was just like, there's this class is like the middle of to the end of this class is just gutted, I think, for lack of a better word.
No, so I agree.
He's someone who's moving up boards.
I agree completely. Because some of these names I have on the bottom of my big board, whoo, not looking good. How high do you think he could go? You think he goes over Mark Sears?
Yeah.
I do too. I have him pretty high. Actually, I have him 44th right now.
I was going to say, like, I can see him, Zion James, I could see him going anywhere, like earliest is probably like 35 to 40.
Ooh, that's high. 30's high. 35 is high. I mean, I could see it, but there's guys on my big board that are there, like, you know, that's where I have Lanier. I got Maxim Raynaud. I got Cam Jones, Noah Penda, Jani Broome.
Yeah.
Culpreter, Watkins.
The second round is weird.
It is. It's
gonna be like, where did you say you had Culpreter?
40.
Okay. I think I had him in like almost top 30.
Holy cow. Yeah. You love watching that guy run.
There's nothing more that I love than watching Culpreter. I just think he's gonna be like a really good NBA big, like backup big, potentially.
I think he's going to be a good backup big, too. I do. I think the fact that he can defend and block shots and then has the ability to stretch the floor just gets you backup minutes. Well, like Thomas Bryant is getting minutes in the NBA Finals.
Well, it may be.
Maybe. Yeah, he might. He might. We'll see. His first two games were horrific.
I just think Ryan has the bit, like, the thing that I love about him most of all, or there's a couple things, like, obviously hate watching him move, have questions about his mobility defensively. But the thing that I love about him that's different for me than I like my eval with ED last year, even though I have the same mobility concerns, is he defends so incredibly well without fouling. Yes. Like, there's no one in the country that defends as well, blocks as many shots, deters as many shots without fouling more than he does. And like, the coordination that he has, the body control that he has is something that is like when he's in the air and he like people are going right at his chest and he doesn't, you know, like when people hit you in the gut, your arms go straight down. Like, that just doesn't happen with him. The other thing that I do like about him are his hands. Like, I guess that kind of goes hand in hand, no pun intended. but like him offensively, like, I think there's so many centers in today's NBA that are still like primary rim runners.
Right.
And like, he's someone that like, he can be a primary rim runner for you. Although I do have concerns about what he does after he doesn't, like, if he doesn't get that initial pass as a rim runner, like, something that I think I've talked to you about and I've written about, it was like, he has a tendency to just post in the paint. Like, just, he just kind of sits in the middle of the paint. You can't do that.
He doesn't space well, is what you like. He doesn't find space. Yeah.
He's going to have to navigate those short corners and those blocks and like the dunker spot area. Like, he's going to have to learn how to navigate that well. He does. Now, NBA players do get away with this. He does set some pretty illegal screens. he's a good screener, but he does set some ones where you're just like, that's very not allowed.
Right, right. It's not
at
okay.
any level of basketball, let alone the NBA, even though there are players that don't get called for illegal screens.
Real quick, I just want to answer a question. Salus D says, is it expensive to buy a second rounder? Yes.
Because hard. Like, you mean trade up into the second round? There's probably some price to it.
Well, I mean, you get that penalty now. Like, you get hard capped.
Well, if that's only if you trade cash.
If you trade a player. Yeah. I don't think it would be super expensive. Like, you're not going to have to trade like a meaningful player. I don't think you're going to have to trade anybody super meaningful to get a second round pick. Unless it's like pick 31. I don't think it'll be that expensive, but if you're trading just cash for a second rounder, you're going to be hard capped, and that's a price teams aren't willing to pay. And that's why I said you've seen a lot more trades that involve all these second round picks, because they want to stockpile them so they don't get hard capped.
Well, that and the fact that, like, it's just another way for me to acquire players at a cheap cost.
Exactly.
Depending on how you value second round picks. Like,
but this is what I'm saying. Teams used to do that by just saying, screw it, I'll just buy back in. Now they can't do that. So now, to get those cheap contracts, you got to think ahead. You got to stockpile them a little bit. Something the Miami Heat do not do. But anyway, Matt, is there anything else you want to talk about before we end today's show?
I'm just ready for the draft to be here.
Me too. I can't wait, dude. I can't wait. 3 weeks, not that far away, but when you're making content, woo! But anyway. We will be doing our updated big board. We've already done our tiers list. I'm not doing another tiers list. That's done. I mean, I guess we could, because people went back to school, but really it's not anything different, because you're just removing the people that went back to school. Everybody else is in their same tier. So we will do our big board, and we will do a mock draft or two before the draft gets here. So we could do one mock draft, no trades. We could do a second mock draft where we discuss what kind of trades could be possible in these spots. So that's some content over the next 3 weeks you guys can look forward to. Matt, tell the people where they can find you, follow, and get more of your work.
You can find me at NPH_824_ on Twitter. You can find me at MountainWestConnection.com, HotOnHoops.com, VendettaSportsMedia.com, in addition to playback.tv/hoopsprofile and playback.tv/5RSN.
Outstanding. I'm Digital Adele. You can find me on all social media platforms under that moniker. Obviously, my channel here on YouTube, Hoops Profile. As Matt said, we're on 5RSN as well as contributors. Thank you for watching on YouTube and Playback TV. We'll see you next time.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.